Great. So as Ashley mentioned, thank you for the introduction. I'll be talking about socialization patterns and their associations with unprotected anal intercourse, HIV, and syphilis among men who have sex with men, and transgendered women in Peru. And some of my collaborators are from UCLA's program in global health, as well as the Peruvian organization Impacta de Salud. I have no relationships to disclose. So first, a little background on HIV and sexually transmitted infections in Peru. Men who have sex with men and transgendered women are disproportionately affected there, as in many other parts of the world. The HIV prevalence is approaching 18% among MSM, and it's up to 33% in trans women, according to recent estimates. But it's remained below 0.5% in the general population. Despite interventions by Ministry of Health and several NGOs, HIV, syphilis, and gonorrhea prevalences have continued increasing in these groups. Developing new approaches to controlling the HIV epidemic in Peru requires a thorough understanding of the many factors influencing disease transmission, including the affected population socialization patterns, which I'll discuss today. So a little bit about, well, social and sexual network analysis has long been an important part of HIV and STI transmission research, but the full scope of that discussion is far beyond my my talk as well as my area of expertise. But given the difficulty in collecting really thorough, complete network data, some alternative measures have been explored in the past. So, for example, other researchers have recorded participants' number of MSM social contacts, which has been shown to be predictive of HIV infection as well as sexual risk behavior. And they've also found that evaluating the venues where people report meeting sexual partners is an important way to capture indirect yet valuable information about the networks, such as their structure, as well as the behavior of the individuals. So for the purposes of our work today, I'll refer to social network size and venue attendance as socialization patterns, but I want to make sure that we all know that they just represent two of the very many ways you could describe how an individual interacts with others in a social setting. So currently, little is known about socialization among MSM and trans women in Peru. In this study, we aim to assess the associations between, one, the frequency of attendance at MSM and trans women venues, and two, the social network size with high-risk sexual behavior, namely insertive and receptive unprotected anal intercourse, or UAI, HIV, and syphilis, in order to investigate these measures' influence on HIV and STI transmission among Peruvian MSM and trans women. So our study design was a cross-sectional secondary data analysis utilizing data collected during the 2011 HIV and STI sentinel surveillance that was performed by NGO and governmental STI clinics in six large Peruvian cities, both on the coast and in the jungle region. The participants, a convenient sample of both MSM and trans women, were recruited by peer outreach workers in the communities. Participation was limited to anatomically born males who are at least 18 years old. They had to have reported anal and/or anal intercourse with at least one male or trans woman during the past 12 months, and had at least one of five predetermined HIV risk acquisition factors. And they were excluded if previously aware of HIV status. Our data collection, the sentinel surveillance protocols were approved by both the organizations Impacta and Via Libre that carried out the data collection, and the secondary analysis of previous collected de-identified data was exempt from UCLA's IRB. The questionnaires that were administered anonymously were performed by a computer-assisted self-interview. It lasted about 1 hour, and blood samples were collected for HIV and syphilis. The outcomes we looked at were, two of them were behavioral, so insertive unprotected anal intercourse and receptive unprotected anal intercourse, which were based on non-zero responses to the questionnaire concerning the number of episodes of unprotected insertive UAI and unprotected insertive anal sex and unprotected receptive anal sex with a male or transgender woman in the past 3 months. HIV infection was diagnosed with screening of the Determine HIV 1 and 2 rapid antibody test, as well as a confirmatory Western blot. Diagnosis of syphilis was limited to participants with an RPR greater than or equal to 1 to 116 and a positive MHA-TP confirmation. And so now, this is how we defined our measures of socialization. For venue attendance, we had a response in the survey that said, the question went, in the last 6 months, how frequently have you gone out to socialize with other MSM and or transgender women, for example, to bars, discos, parties, parks, theaters, bathhouses, or other public places? And we collapsed those responses into three categories. So never in the past 6 months, occasionally, which ranged from once every 6 months to every month, and frequently, or at least once a week. The social network size variable was treated as a continuous variable, and it was based upon a question asking the participant to report the total number of MSM or trans women with whom they had communicated with, either in person, by phone, or email, in the past 6 months. These could be friends, partners, hookups, brothers, cousins, neighbors, etc. As for the analysis, our analyses were all stratified by self-reported sexual identity and gender. So the groups were gay or homosexual, bisexual, heterosexual, and the transgendered women. We tested for associations of venue attendance and social network size with outcomes. In our multivariate regression, we adjusted all of the models for the exposure variables, as well as the covariates of city, age, participation in commercial sex, whether paying or receiving money, and sexual role. Moving on to some of the data we got. Just over 5,000 participants completed both parts of the survey and the blood tests. For the self-reported sexual identity, close to half, or 44%, describe themselves as gay, with lesser numbers bisexual, 30%, and heterosexual, 12%. 14% with the sample identified as transgendered women. The sexual roles were more evenly represented, with around 40% calling themselves primarily activo, or insertive partners, 34% pasivo or receptive, and 27% moderno versatil, which is both. For the outcomes, out of 3,700 or so participants reporting sex with men or trans women in the past 3 months, or 72% of the sample, close to 54% reported unprotected insertive anal intercourse, and 55% reported unprotected receptive anal intercourse. A total of 8.2% of the sample was positive for HIV, and 5.1% were syphilis positive. For venue attendance, the largest percentage, nearly half, reported frequently, at least once a week, attending, while only 17% reported never attending in the past 6 months. And finally, the median social network size overall was 5, with an interquartile range of 2 to 12. And remember, this is the number of close MSM or trans women with whom the participant communicated in the past 6 months. So I just wanted to display it a little differently by sexual and gender identity. So as you can kind of follow along, the heterosexual identified subgroup has the smallest proportion attending venues frequently, but that increases little by little as you go to the bisexual group, then to the gay participants, and finally it's the highest among the transgendered women. Conversely, the transgendered women had the lowest proportion reporting never attending venues in the past 6 months, and this measure increased as you go back down to the gay, men, bisexual, and then heterosexual identified. And again, I've defined it as that I've displayed social network size, bisexual identity, and gender. Once again, the heterosexually identified MSM and trans women appear on either extreme of this, with a bisexual and gay MSM falling in between. So I just wanted to summarize the main findings of the multivariate analysis, because with all the different stratifications, it had a large number. So just as a reminder, we adjusted for age, city, commercial sex, education level, sexual role and the exposure variables. So for the heterosexual identified group, we observed the largest effect, which was reporting occasional and frequent attendance associated statistically significant odds of increased UAI. So it was 3.5 times as likely for the ones that went out occasionally, and 3.14 for the frequent group. The findings were a bit more complex with the gay-identified MSM subgroup. So there was a statistically significant decrease in insertive UAI with occasional attendance, and the odds ratio for that was 0.54. The odds ratio for frequent attendance suggested the same trend, but it did not meet significance. However, there was an increase in receptive unprotected anal intercourse with frequent attendance. But it's also worth noting, I didn't put this on the slide, but receptive UAI was significantly increased among the bisexual MSM who attended frequently, and in the trans women who attended both occasionally and frequently, and those were all around 2 times as likely. And then finally, we found that social network size was significant with just one of our models, HIV infection in bisexual participants. While the adjusted odds ratio may appear small at 1.011, it's important to note that this represents an incremental increase for each additional social network member that was listed, not necessarily sexual partners. So, moving on, we believe these findings to be significant for being a first evaluation of socialization among MSM and trans women in Peru. The socialization patterns we considered varied quite considerably by self-reported sexual identity or gender, and it suggests a meaningful heterogeneity in behavior among these groups. Recall that trans women and heterosexually identified MSM had the greatest and least degrees of socialization. After controlling for potential confounders, the regression analysis showed that attending MSM and trans women venues carried higher risk of UAI in several of our models. The largest effect was a threefold increase in insertive UAI among heterosexual MSM. We hypothesized that venue attendance could increase insertive UAI risk in this group through an association between increased attendance there and increased frequency of intercourse with male or transgendered partners. It's important to note, however, that our variables considered only unprotected intercourse and not necessarily all sexual risk behavior, and that's something that unfortunately we weren't able to look at. And interestingly, venue attendance had the opposite association among self-identified gay or homosexual MSM, in that the participants who were occasional attenders were less likely to report insertive UAI. We thought that could be explained perhaps by the fact that gay-identified MSM are involved in a lot of prevention groups, and so those with strong community ties might have increased exposure to those efforts. And then finally, we found that we had a limited association with the biological outcomes, HIV and syphilis, and that could maybe be due to the fact that the socializing factors we considered were closer to the sexual risk behavior, UAI, than to the biological outcomes of infection in the causal chain of HIV transmission. Some limitations. So some of the limitations of our analysis were the biases that are inherent in a lot of self-reported data. There's recall bias, social desirability bias, et cetera. Being a secondary analysis, we were limited somewhat by the questions that were asked in the surveillance. For example, there's no distinction between social and sexual network members, so the question included all of them together. And it also did not differentiate venue types. So discos, pornographic theaters, bathhouses, cruising sites, these were all lumped together, and they're clearly a heterogeneous group of locations with various amounts of sexual risk behavior described in the literature. And then finally, the primary motivation for visiting the venues, such as searching for an anonymous sex partner or going out to see friends, might also be an important risk factor that wasn't addressed. So finally, the next steps and conclusions. For the 2013 surveillance that's currently going on, we are considering the internet's role in venue attendance and how this might differ across the sexual identity and gender groups. We're also going to be asking about some potential transmission hotspots or specific popular venues in Lima to see how these fit into the socialization patterns of the participants in that city. And so finally, in closing, this analysis provides a preliminary look at the diversity of socialization patterns among MSM and trans women in Peru and some of their associations with HIV and STI transmission risk factors. Future work should build on these findings and help develop more effective context-specific interventions. And so I just wanted to acknowledge the participants, study staff, and peer outreach workers who took part in the study. The funding for the study came from CARE Peru and the Global Fund, and I was supported by UCLA's Sapphire program. And these are some of my co-authors from Peru and UCLA. And that's it.